Well, do take your Bibles this evening as we turn to John chapter 12 and these words of Christ in verse 31 and 32. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. I don't know about you, but as we listen to the news in these days and we hear the daily death figures from countries like Spain and Italy, and America, it's really shocking to hear how many people are losing their lives in the current coronavirus crisis. And thinking about death is something that none of us really want to do. Certainly, thinking about our own deaths is something that we don't want to do. How will I die? Will I die by an accident, by a crime, in a war? Will I die from disease, from old age, and natural causes? And when will I die? How long will I have on earth? These are questions that none of us really particularly want to think about. But here in verse 32, Jesus is speaking about his death. And he says, I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And please never think of Christ as approaching death in a blasé way. Sometimes people say, oh, well, he knew he would be raised from the dead. But it wasn't like that. A few verses before, verse 27, now he said, is my soul troubled? His soul was troubled. And you can't see Christ in Gethsemane and somehow feel that Christ was blasé about his death. But here, this text of scripture, I just want to think about verse 32. I want to think about it under three headings as we just meditate on the events of Good Friday. First of all, let's think about the promise of Christ. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. In many ways, to be a believer in Christ is to live on the promises of God. The most famous verse of all, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's the promise of God that if you believe, you'll not perish but you'll have eternal life. Then there's the promise in service, cast your bread upon the waters and you will find it after many days. In other words, don't hold back. Get on with serving the Lord. Or if you go through difficulty, the promise of God is when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. There's the promise of guidance. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And there's the promise too, even of persecution, that everyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But the Lord has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So in many ways to become a Christian and to live as a Christian is to live by faith on the promises of God. They're all yes in Christ Jesus. And here is a promise of God. I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Secondly, let me talk about the power of Christ in this verse. And that's for us under that word, will draw all men to myself. I remember at school physics classes, I think it probably was. And the teacher brought out a little jar of iron filings. She put the iron filings on a page and brought very slowly towards those iron filings a powerful magnet. As the magnet got closer, edging across the page, the little filings began to tremble and then suddenly they jumped across the page and they attached themselves to the magnet. And we were being taught about the power of magnets and of magnetism. And that was a very visual aid to help us understand something about magnetism. And here Christ, as he speaks, is speaking about the fact that his death upon the cross, there's a magnetic force to it, as it were. It draws people in. You only need to think about two men who were present at the crucifixion and how they were drawn in to Christ because of these events. The thief on the cross, for example, was beside Christ. One thief railed against Christ. He had no time for him. He was just thinking about himself. But the other thief believed on Christ. Lord, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you remember what Jesus said to him? Today, you will be with me in paradise. There's the promise of God again. You will be with me in paradise. and encourage you as you read your Bible to look out for the promises of God. But that thief had been drawn in by that promise. That thief had been brought to Christ. He had seen in Christ upon the cross there was something more going on than just another criminal being crucified. He had seen that this was a king, that this was indeed of God. And he cried out for salvation. He cried out for entry into a new kingdom. And that is a marvelous encouragement to us that this man, who was most likely a Jew, was drawn to Christ by the events of Calvary. But there's another man who also was drawn to Christ by the events of Calvary, and he probably wasn't a Jew. That was the centurion. The Jews divided the world up into two. There were the Jews and then there was everybody else, the Gentiles. Well, this centurion was most likely a Gentile. He was a non-Jew. And yet as Jesus died and the centurion had seen Christ and heard Christ and that great cry had gone up, it is finished. What did he say? Truly, this man was the Son of God. He too had been drawn to Christ. He too had responded to Christ in a positive way. And he too most likely had become a follower of Christ because of the drawing power of Calvary, the drawing power of Christ upon the cross. And still today, isn't it the case that this is what draws us? Christ is the figure who unites us. He is the one who calls for personal allegiance. That's why he says in verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. There's this drawing us away from the world. The world is all about reason, and the world is all about materialism, and the world is all about having a good time. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But Jesus says in verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. Calvary is about a judgment upon the world. You might have things, but they'll never satisfy. You might have a good time, but it'll not bring you lasting joy. You may have education and reason, but you'll never find out God and find the depths and the satisfaction that there is in God simply by using your mind. You have to come to Christ upon the cross and there discover the joy of walking with him and serving him. So this is the power of Christ to draw lives in, like a magnet drawing in iron filings. The death of Christ draws in believers. And to be a real Christian, to be a true Christian, is to have been drawn to Christ and to have received Christ as your Lord and as your Saviour. So we've thought about the promise of Christ and we've thought about the power of Christ. Let me finish by talking about the people of Christ. And we've mentioned already the thief upon the cross. We've mentioned the centurion also. But let me just read to you what someone has said about their experience of Christ and how they went from darkness to light through the cross of Christ. He says this, one thing I know, that because of Jesus Christ and because of what he is and did and does, my whole relationship with God has changed. Because of Jesus Christ, I know that God is my Father and friend. Daily and hourly I experience the fact that I can enter into his presence with confidence and with boldness. He is no longer my enemy. He is no longer even my judge. There is no longer an unbridgeable gulf between him and me. I am more at home with him than with any human being in the world. And all this is so because of Jesus Christ, and it could not possibly have happened without him. You see, to be a person of Christ, to be someone who has discovered the power of Christ through the cross, you become a friend of God rather than a foe of God. You become someone who knows God intimately. You're in a personal relationship with God, but also with all others who know God and who walk with God in a personal and in a real way, have been saved by the blood of Christ upon the cross. I think that's why we're finding social distancing so difficult at this time. The cross of Christ pulls us together, and yet coronavirus pushes us apart. And many of us are grieving in our hearts that we can't be with the people of God. We can't be with the people who know the Lord. We can't share in fellowship. We can't be the family of God the way we want to be the family of God. And people have been saying to me, these little videos They're just keeping their focus and reminding them about God and about his word and about the principles and practices of the people of God. And that's been an encouragement to me, because I too am missing the people of God. I too am feeling excluded from fellowship. But the cross here of Christ is very much a reminder to us that it pulls together a people. Jesus said, I will draw all men to myself, men and women, rich and poor, black and white, from every continent, every tribe, every tongue, drawn together by the cross of Christ. And the Good Friday reminder, as we call it that, is simply a reminder of our fellowship that we have together as a people of God. And the family of God are very much focused. We find our social membership, if we like, around personal allegiance to Christ upon the cross. As I finish then, let me just say that Christ upon the cross is not just it. Because, of course, Christ upon the cross leads us to Resurrection Day on the Sunday. If we just have Christ upon the cross, and some traditions dwell upon the sufferings of Christ at great length and never really get past Christ upon the cross, that's disastrous if we just think about Christ upon the cross and his death. Then he's just another great dead man from history. But let's remind ourselves of resurrection morning that bursts the bonds of death and brings life to the world. And let's remind ourselves that our faith is just not about death, but it's also about life. Death to sin, but life in Christ. And let's embrace our Savior. Let's believe, as he says, in the light, that you may become sons of light. Don't dwell in the darkness. Live in the light, that you may become sons of light. And I encourage you this Good Friday, yes, to be humbled, to be astounded at the thought of Christ lifted up on a cross, nailed to a post, making atonement for the sin of the world. But also remember the amazing life that he also provided for everyone who believes. If you don't believe, believe right now. Jesus said, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. And if you are in the light, then live as a child of the light. And may your light shine in a dark place. And let's look forward to that day when we can come together as a family of God and once again worship and know the Christ of Calvary in our midst. May God bless you in this time.